Waiting when you come in still? Yeah, all right. I missed our flaggers tonight. I told them to go home because they're an hour and a half away. And I said, I don't know what the weather's going to be like. So you going? But I missed them. Didn't you miss them? I've told them, I said, your flagging is so anointed. And now I know it to be a fact because it's the first time they haven't been up here flagging. So, you know, God, if he calls you to do something, he always anoints you to do it. Do you know that? You have to know that from the very depth of your being. If he's called you to do something, you're anointed to do it. And it doesn't matter how much the enemy fights you, you have to go on and do what God's calling you forth to do. Well, Father, I truly do thank you for each and every person that came out here tonight to sit at your table and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, as these 10 days are going forth, I know that you're in them, and I know the works that you want to be done is being done in these days. And Father God, I thank you for the pastors and the leaders who have stepped up to the plate and said, I'll be part of this move. And Father God, I want you to bless them abundantly. Bless them going in and coming out, Father. Father God, I want you to, tonight, I want you to take every pastor, every leader that's listening, I want you to take them to a new realm of your glory. Take them deep into your bosom, Father. And Father God, hold them tight. Be with them in the eye of the storm. And Father God, let them know without a shadow of a doubt that you have called them and anointed them, and that you will not leave them nor forsake them. And Father, we truly do thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God is moving in mysterious ways. You know, he's always moving. And we sometimes don't understand why he's moving the way he is, but he's still moving. We don't even know where he's at or where he's coming from. You know, in different areas. I don't know about you, but with me, sometimes I say, God, what are you doing? How many of you say, God, what are you doing? I don't even know what you're doing. And, you know, but you're just holding on to his hand, and you're just walking on with him. And because he told us whenever this new 40-year dispensation started, he said, you'd never been this way before. And so if you've never been someplace before, you don't know how to react there, do you? And so what you have to do is just hold on to God's hand and just keep going. And I've told my people here for the last couple of weeks, I don't even, when I walk in here, I don't feel like I belong here anymore. And then this morning he prophesied and said, you've outgrown the building. So, you know, I don't know what God's doing, but he's on the move and he's working and he's doing great and marvelous things. And so I don't know where you're at with your walk with God, but just know one thing. He's in that walk. He's the one that's holding your hand. He's the one that's leading, guiding, and directing you. You know, he talked to us this morning about the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to make it. You have to be so full of the Holy Spirit that you he can talk to you at any given time. And he can turn you around if you're going in the wrong direction. Or if somebody's misleading you or misguiding you, then he can talk to you and tell you, no, don't listen to that voice. I want you to go this way, or I want you to go that way. Tonight's the seventh night of this 10-day of a prayer. And God just wants me to talk to leaders tonight. He wants to give you some direction, explain to you some things that are going on. And you know what I'm happy about? I'm happy that the little churches are in this. The little churches are in this. And that you guys are the forerunners, you guys that have been on the back side of the desert, and God's getting ready to bring you forth. You're getting ready to blossom like you would never even dream. And so I want you to hold on tight, because you're getting ready to move into the one of the most marvelous times in your ministry, and it's not going to stop. Because God told me, once I start this movement, I'm not going to stop until Jesus comes back. So we're in a new 40-year dispensation of time. And it's a glorious time, and all that you have to do is just hang on. Just hang on, because God is in control of all things. He is surely in control of all things. Amen. Now, how many of you know that since God called you into your ministry, the devil came too? when God called me into the ministry, you know, all hell broke. I was having a really nice, always good, went to church, but never born again. I was just having a nice time living, you know. But then when I became born again, all hell broke loose in my life. And I said, God, what is this? He said, I heard you when you said, here I am, use me. And this comes along with the territory. So if you opened your big mouth and said, God, use me, the devil was there and he heard that too. And he does not want you to be used. He wants to abuse you, but he does not want you to be used. Don't give in to anything the enemy's trying to do in your life. Follow God with all of your heart. All of your heart. And anytime the devil comes to fight you, just tell him, no, you have no place here. You can't rest here. You have to keep right on moving. Believe me, I think I've been at this since 1980. And I've had plenty of time to be attacked by the enemy over and over and over again. I've been attacked by the pastors in this area. So I want to tell you, small churches, if you're here or listening, you have a small church. The bigger churches who have been here for a while do not want anybody to intrude upon their territory. They just don't want that. So you have to understand that you're called of God, and you just have to keep moving. Just keep moving. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll do that, God will bless you abundantly. He will bless you abundantly. And one thing, as I was sitting there in praise and worship was going on, God said, tell them never to despise small beginnings. Never despise small beginnings. You know, if you can't handle 5 or 10 people, how are you going to handle 5,000? You know, so God might have to start you small, then grow you up so you can handle more than 5 or 10. All right? And I want you to understand one thing. If God has called you into ministry and all you have is a home ministry, that's where God wants you. And if you're faithful in that home ministry, God will exalt you. And if God exalts you to a building and it goes up and down and up and down and up and down, don't worry about that. God is doing the work in that too. And he's preparing you for the great mighty works that he's getting ready to place all of the remnant churches into. Now, I could just about say that most of you who are sitting in here or listening and you have a church, at one time God told you you was a remnant church. And God is bringing, he told me that when we first started, he said, you're a remnant church. And through the years, I found out what a remnant church is. And the remnant church are the ones who are faithful and true to God. And they are the ones that God is going to use. He can trust you. You know, he's been working on you and working. He's been letting you go through all kinds of things. The church, 2 years ago, went through a Job experience. First of all, God said, daughter, you're going through a Job experience. And then a while later, he said, now the whole church is going through a Job experience. And if you listen to what some of the prophets and pastors are saying, they said it's the last 10 years have been the worst years that they ever spent in the ministry. And Job went to God and said, I'm looking for somebody. And God said, well, you know, here's Dave. You just take Dave. You can do anything but kill him. One time the enemy, so then he gets Dave and he starts his little, Satan does, and he starts his little venture with Dave and he takes Dave through the hoops, right? You put your name in there, yeah. Takes you through the hoops. He could, in one time, the enemy, God told me the enemy's coming after you, daughter, and he's going to turn you every way but loose. But when it's all finished, you're going to be standing on your feet praising me. And God is not a man that he should lie, and I went through that. And it was hard. It was really hard. And the enemy personally came to me and talked to me. I saw his face. I saw him. He talked to me. He said, I'm going to kill you. And I said, no. No, you can't. Because God said, you can do anything but kill me. But, you know, I'm going to be honest. By the time he was finished, a couple of times I wished he was dead. Because the battle got hard. I mean, come on. We're a human being. We're flesh and blood. That battle got hard. And you're holding on with all of your life. But you know one thing. You know that God is with you. He said, I'll always be in the storm with you. So he's always with you. And God said, when the storm comes, run to the eye of the storm. And in other words, he was saying, run to him. He, you know, in the eye of the storm, everything's calm. And I studied that out. I thought, well, that's a good place to run to. You know, it's to that eye where everything's calm. And I'm just encourage y'all right now. When the enemy comes, don't worry about what he's doing, because God's given him permission to do it. But he can't kill you. All right. And so just keep going. Just keep going. I keep going. You can keep going. We all serve the same God, right? And if he calls you, he's equipping you, he's going to take care of you. Just keep going. Just keep walking. It's not going to be easy. If you really read the Word and study what happened to God's true disciples, they were always being attacked. And, you know, they didn't have an easy road. So what makes us believe that we need to have an easy road too? You know, anything that's worth anything is worth fighting for, isn't it? And so why not fight for your salvation? Why not fight for your ministry? Why do you want to sit down and do nothing? And I think really and truly, one of the biggest, you can put that up if you want, whoever has it. One of the biggest miracles God is trying to get the church leaders to do is to come together in unity and not be concerned how big nor how small their churches are. That's what we need to be praying for while we're doing these 10 days, praying for the ministers that they will quit trying to be the big guy and just be what you are. You're just nothing but another human being that God created and placed in this earth, and he happened to think that you was worthwhile to call to be a leader, to lead other people to him. And why can't we just be like that? There's no big guy. There's no little guy. It's just all guys. You know, we're all on the same level. And God just so happened to call you to be the leader. And he called you and gave you a bunch of little sheep to take care of. All right? All right. When I came on the scene, I went to pastors' meetings. If you're ever going to them, you might have had a better experience than I did. I went to 3, then I quit. I found out all the pastors' meetings were for was to gloat how big their church was, to brag how many times they went overseas, and sell their wares. When they found out I was in my home with 10 people and never went overseas, they totally ignored me the rest of the meeting. They didn't want to have anything to do with me because I was just sitting in my home having church meetings. They'll do the same to you. They really will. It was, you know, I sat there and I watched these pastors and go around rub elbows with one another, and I thought, what a shame. They're rubbing elbows, but they're not touching Jesus. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a big church. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a big car. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a big checking account. I don't have any of those. But I'm not saying it's all right if you, I'm saying it's all right if you do. But what I'm saying is, do you have Jesus? Well, you have all that. You know, I hope you never do this, but I went to, you know, I used to evangelize a lot. And I went to one church, and, you know, they took up an offering for me. Well, no, first of all, they took up an offering for the pastor because the pastor couldn't pay his bills that month. So, and it was a poor church. It really was a poor church. And so then they said, we have to take up a special offering for the pastor because the pastor can't pay his bills. And I watched as people scrape and go in their pockets trying to get out another offering for the pastor. And then they took one up for me, and I said, you know, you don't have to take one up for me. Well, then that upset the pastor. Anyhow, I left there not on good standing with the pastor. But, you know, God doesn't want you to bilk your sheep like that. He wants you to have enough faith to know that God will take care of you. And I don't like that type of thing, and I hope you don't do that. God doesn't like that. It's not what I like. God doesn't like that. Anyhow, you know, why do you need a lot of money to go to preach at another church? Freely God called you, freely God anointed you, and freely God gave you the anointing to preach. So why do you have to have a big fee to go to another church? These are just things that God wants you to think about. You know, he just talked to me about it, and I just wrote little notes down. You need to make sure that you're walking with God all the time, listening for his voice all the time. And the Bible says his sheep know his voice. And they another voice they will not listen to. And the devil came to me the other day for the first time in years. And I said, you know, I don't want to talk to you. I know who you are. And then the devil got mad at me, and he wasn't nice to me. But see, he was trying to just swell my head. And I knew that the voice wasn't God's voice anyhow. And so I made him leave. I don't need to be lifted up by anybody, and you don't either. God will lift you up. God will exalt you. God will grow your church. People won't. People will tear your church. I'm just telling you what I've lived through, okay? People will tear your church down. You get people into your church, and they'll start thinking they're the pastor, and they're going to tell you how to run your church. And then whenever you won't let them, they say, well, we're going to leave, and you'll fall. Let them leave. You won't fall. You will not fall, because God has you in his hands. All right? And I'm just believing with the smaller churches that have grouped together and are doing this prayer thing, you watch and see what God's going to do with you, the small churches. My daughter took me the other day to the bank, and just going down the road, I counted 5 small buildings, you know, with, you know, in these little outlet places where churches were. And I said, I didn't know there were so many small churches, you know, around. But there's a whole lot of small churches that are there, and God's going to exalt these churches, and he's going to bring, if the pastors are called from God, and if they're living the holy life, then God's going to exalt them. So don't talk about another church. You know, God always told me, you have enough to get you to handle the ones I give you. You don't need to stick your nose in the church down on the corner. Because a couple of pastors come to me and say, well, what do you think about this church? I say, I don't. And I never do. I don't care what you're doing. And I'm not being ignorant when I say that, because I have enough to listen to God's voice to do my own sheep. And you do too. You don't need to be, but you're not, you, God didn't call you to run the church down the corner. He called you to run the church you're in. Please keep that in mind, because too much of that is going on. There's too much sheep stealing. All right. Okay, so God told me I was to never do fundraising. Let's talk about this. Fundraising events in the lighthouse. Some churches sell hot dogs and coffee in their lobbies. I'm not allowed to do that. Somebody came in here and said, well, you know, I want to do a fundraiser and I want to sell hot dogs in the lobby. I said, no, I can't do that. They left the church. Surely God will let you sell hot dogs in the lobby. I said, surely he won't. All right. And then, if God truly called you, then he will keep you as long as you remember it is God's ministry and you are the vessel he chose to work through. And God gave me this scripture in Matthew 21:12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. See that? Then, after the temple was cleansed, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When you get all your little things you have out there trying to make money out of the way and let God and his Holy Spirit in, then signs, wonders, and miracles begin to happen. All right? Well, we need money for this. Well, when we need money for this, we pray. I pray and I say, God, you know that we need funds for this and we don't have the money. Send the funds in. He always does. You know, and when I was in my home and everybody said, you need to get out of your home. Don't listen to everybody. All right. And so I looked and I found this place. We had a terrible time getting it together. Just think about how, if you're doing a church, is it running smoothly? And I sat on those steps after crying. It goes downstairs. I said, God, why am I having all these problems? He said, because you listen to the people and not me. I didn't tell you to get this place. The people did, and that's the truth. He said, but I'm going to tell you what, I will keep you while you're here. You'll never have an abundance, but I will keep you while you're here. And he's kept his promise. So, you know, you need to be careful of what other people tell you to do. You know, you need to be praying yourself, and you need to be hearing God's voice, and you need to be the one that God speaks and tells you what to do with the church he gave you to run. All right. This isn't my church. This is God's church. That's the way I feel about it. I'm just the vessel that he uses to open the doors. Okay, so then when I came on the scene, Rodney Howard Brown came on the scene. there was quite a few that came on the scene the same time as I did. Delaware would not embrace him and his gifts, and he went to Florida and started a church there, and to this day, signs, wonders, and miracles are seen. Delaware did not like Rodney Howard Brown and his funny anointing. They thought he was crazy, because I went to his meetings when they had them. All right, the last time he came to Delaware, he told me Delaware was closed to the gospel. He's not the only one that says that. Other pastors, big pastors, don't want to come into Delaware. And they would not embrace me. They were closed. He tried to get me to the city. He would set me up in church, and I would have a huge church. The people Delaware. So I God, he said he needed me in Delaware, and he went on to tell me what he was going to use me to do. So you know, if God has placed you here until he wants you to move, he's there where he's planted you, right? You just listen to people, you know, really, really excited, you know, when, you know, Rodney Howard Brown told me, I'll set you up in a church, because I had no money. But that was what man wanted to do. That's not what God wanted to do. Are you listening? You know, you weren't called by God just to sit and do nothing. You were called by God to have your sheep tell you how to run your church. You were called because he knows what you can do. He knows that he's anointed you to do the works. And he wants you to see his face and hear from him and not man. All right. It's a day. First time I went up there where you're at, I was sitting at the table, and we had the prophetic booth, and you walked around through there. You didn't talk to me, but God said, see that young man. I didn't know who you was. And he said, do you see that young man? I said, yes. He said, you're going to tutor him. No, mentor him. Tutor, where to get? You're going to mentor him. I've never talked to him. I've never talked to him. And I don't know how many years ago that was. He was holding an event on the green. It was in the summertime. But see, this is just how God is. And then we are going to have a visit, a meeting together. But God knows perfect timing for all things. So, you know, all right, so God told me that maybe 10 years ago. But it isn't going to happen till now. Are you understanding that? So when God tells you something, you have to wait for his timing. And when it's ready, he's going to do what he says he's going to do. All right. Through this 10 days of prayer, God can use the pastors that united together to see this event succeed, to break down the walls of darkness in Delaware and bring the light forth, which in turn will bring in a great harvest of souls. You know what? You know, all of us who have little churches, we are really stronger than a big church. Do you understand that? And the reason is because we are small, and we have to rely on God for everything. Because we don't have 1,000 people pouring money into us, or you know, it is just you and I. I mean, yeah, you and I and God. All right. I think God told Elaine the other night she's been walked to the background, and he wants to bring her to the forefront. And I don't know what he's going to do with her, but see, now she has to listen and see what God wants her to do. All right. I mean, I'm not going to tell her what to do. God spoke that to her. Now it's her job to seek God's face. All right, God, if I've stepped to the background, then what is it you want to do with me? All right, she doesn't have to believe what I said. All right. I do want to say this, though. I am not a false prophet. Never have been, never will be. And I only say what God says. And there's some things that God shows me about people that I never say. Because it isn't for me to blurt it out. He just wants me to see what's really going on inside of people. So just because God tells you something about somebody doesn't mean you're supposed to prophesy to them. Or, you know, or talk to them about it. They're showing you one thing, but God's showing you the truth. All right? So we can be deceived very, very easily if we don't understand that aspect. And for an example, you know, we used to have revival in there all the time, and it's going to happen again. But you know, and I was standing there, and I called a young lady up, and as she was walking up, God said she's a prostitute, and he told me her life was bad. But when she stood in front of me there, God told never said that to her. He told her how much he loved her and how he was going to use her and where, how, you know, and where and when he was going to use her. She left here so excited and so, you know, so in love with God that she gave her heart to God totally and completely. God never revealed what she was. He just told her what he saw and what he wanted to do for her. All right, so if God shows you something bad about somebody, please don't destroy them with it. He wants you to keep it to yourself. It's just for your knowledge so that you're not blindsided by the devil. All right, so we talked about Rodney Howard Brown, and I just heard the other day where Rodney Howard Brown and his church got together and prayed against a hurricane, and the hurricane bypassed them. This is an anointed man of God that Delaware didn't want, but look at the authority he has in Christ. And if you watch his ministry, his signs, wonders, and miracles are still happening in his ministry. So just because Delaware shuns you doesn't mean God's shunning you. That's what I want to say. You know, Delaware can be really dumb at times. But God has promised that we're going to see a breakthrough in Delaware. And I really think this 10 days is the beginning of it. You know, because it has brought people together that's never been together. You know, and God's just going to do a new thing. All right, pastors all over the world are wanting big churches, cars, and homes. Jesus spoke to me Friday and showed me that he had a very small church. It was just him and 12 disciples. Did you ever think about that? I never thought about that. God said, daughter, he said, my son, you had a very small church. It was just him and his 12 disciples. So why do you need yourself and 1,000 people to get your church going? You don't. You just need Jesus. Or I don't know how many people have passed through these doors, but I'm going to tell you something else. When God first called me, he said, your doors will be swinging doors. He said, because what I'm going to send in is pastors, and I'm going to teach them, and then I'm going to send them out, and they'll start their own ministry. Well, so pastors do come in here, and pastors do get ministered to, but what God was saying was he was going to send the nobodies in. He's going to send the nobodies to you. And he's going to use you to speak into their life. And then when he has them grown up to the point he can use them, then he's going to send them forth so they can start their ministries. Don't hold them to their seats. You know, teach them whatever God's given you to teach them. And then let them go. Let them go. And, you know, we have such a turnaround. I always know when God's getting ready to send me a new handful of people because I go down to a handful. And then I said, well, God, I just said to people the other week, I said, well, it's time for God to send us in new people now because the ones that were here learned all they could know, and now God's taking them out. So if God takes somebody out of your church, don't be upset. Either they're not going to ever grow or they've grown to the place where God can use them. Okay? I mean, you went through the same thing, didn't you? Before you had your ministry, you had to grow. Then when you were growing up and God wanted to use you, your pastor told you you didn't hear God's voice. Sit down and shut up, I'll bet you. Because they don't want to lose you. All right? I mean, when I came on the scene in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, I was anointed. And I didn't know it then, but I know it now. And I'm not bragging. I'm trying to teach you something. And I'd go to my pastor and I'd say this, that. She says, you know, everyone I went to say, sit down and shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. They couldn't answer my questions. And so they were afraid of me and they told me just be quiet. And so, you know, I'm sorry, guys, but another church is not going to want you to leave their church and go start a church. You know, they want to keep you under their thumb. Don't be one of those pastors. Let your people go. Give them full rule and reign, you know. You know, Sister Lane used to come here and she'd come and tell me, God's pulling me out. That was her time to go. If she stayed any longer, she'd have become stagnant and wouldn't be able to do the things she's already done for God. Are you understand? Let your people go. Now, I had somebody come the night before. God said, all right, now so-and-so is going to come to you and tell you that I spoke to them and told them to leave the church. And I don't remember anymore what all was said. And he said, it's not me, it's them. They're upset with you, and they just want to walk out, so they're trying to cover themselves. So the next day, here they came, word for word. They told me exactly what God said he would say. And I just smiled and I blessed him, and I met him from the very depth of my being and sent them on their way. You know, they didn't, they fell flat in their face. They passed away. This couple passed away now, but people are going to do that too. They're going to come to you and they're going to tell you that God told them to leave, and God isn't telling them to leave. They just got into a fence and they're trying to think of some way to get out from under. All right? Please remember that. So, okay, I said Jesus said that it was just him and his 12, but with this small group, he turned the world upside down. Come on. There's people from different states who happen to get onto our site, and I don't know why, because I don't think I do too good. But anyhow, they actually travel here, fly in here, just to sit into one of the services. Now, that has to be the Spirit of God. All right? All right, some people blame their sheep because God doesn't move in their church. That is not truth. You are selling your Father short. The Father didn't call you and the sheep. He called you. And when he called you, you were anointed, right? So I fell into this little trick of the devil. That's why that God had me bring it out. Jesus showed me that there was not unity with the disciples, you know, Jesus and his 12. He told me there wasn't unity with us. They were always fighting among themselves. Remember, even their mothers wanted their sons to sit next to Jesus and everything, and questioning what Jesus was doing or saying. And Luke 22:24 says, within minutes they were bickering over who of them would end up the greatest. But Jesus intervened. Kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you. Let the senior among you become like the junior. Let the leader act the part of the servant. See that? So there wasn't unity in Jesus and his 12 disciples. Why do you think he always ran to the mountain? He had to get away from those disciples and get to the Father where he could have unity with the Father. I mean, God's just showed me these things over the years, and I just think they're neat myself. All right, even though there was not total unity with the disciples, Jesus was one with the Father. The one who was called into the ministry was one with the Father. I was in the same boat about 6 months ago, blaming the people because they wouldn't come into complete unity, and therefore the glory would not drop. Now, God will drop the glory on his appointed time and not before. Now, he told me that not in a very nice tone of voice. He said, you are not going to make me drop my glory before I have a plan to drop it. So I'm going to tell you right now, you are not going to change God's mind. He has a certain time for everything, and that is when he's going to do it. You can bawl and squall and kick your feet and do everything you want, but he's going to do it in his timing, not yours. So anyhow, I blame this church because the glory wouldn't drop because they weren't in unity. And Jesus spoke to me and said, daughter, it is just you and I. Hear this, pastors. It's just you and God. It was just, and God said, it was just you and I when I called you, and it is still just you and I. A couple months ago, God said, daughter, I am waiting on you. He is waiting for me to get over my little thing about saying it was the people's fault. And really, truly, I don't know how I got into that state, believing that God wouldn't move if you all didn't straighten up. So quit blaming your people if God isn't moving. It's something in you that's happened, and God needs you to get yourself together. And you're going to have to be honest with yourself. You really are. You can't walk with God and walk in the Spirit and not be honest with yourself. You have to check yourself every day. Well, you don't have to, but I would suggest it. I check myself every day, God, if there's something in me that has brewed over the night, get it out of me right now, because I can't move with God with a mess in my life. And we all have circumstances, don't we? And we can all get up messed up really quickly. I had to come into unity with the Father, that it was not up to the people to bring the glory. I had to become and stay one with the Father. And I'm going to tell you, at that time, God said to me, return to your first love. Somehow, brother, all the circumstances in my life just you know, just swallowed me up, and I had walked away from God. I didn't sin or anything, but I just was not relying on Him any longer to be the one to do the things that needed to be done. Some of you, if you haven't done that, you will do that. Because the enemy's going to just, well, you might not, because that's what God's saying He's going to do with the people now. He said the enemy's finished with us, and you just might not have to go. And if you don't have to go through that, say, thank you, Jesus. Because that's a terrible state to be in, all right? And in years, I want to show you this too. It's your church, right? God has called you to be the leader. And many people have come in here and they've tried to be, you know how they try to buy you and sweet talk you and everything. And God said to me, He said, nobody's ever going to ride on your coattails. He said, you paid the price to be where you're at. They're going to pay the price also. So if somebody's around about you just trying to buy you or whatever they're trying to do, don't let them do that. They're going to have to pay the price that you paid, like you paid, in order to be called and anointed by God. You, as the shepherd of the sheep that God has given you, must have unity with the Father. You have to be close to the Father at all times. And you have to love the sheep He has given you to tend. And how many of you know you have some sheep that you'd like to dip them in the water? I mean, come on, let's be honest. Everybody is not lovable when they first come into the house of God. They have all this junk, just like we did, all this junk attached to them. And you just said sometimes, just shake your head and say, I just can't, God, I can't believe you sent them to me. I mean, I'm being honest. This is where I'm at times. I'm being honest. I am human. All right? But I don't kick them aside. We patiently work with them, and sometimes patience gets thin. But we keep working with them, and Barbara Alsop was one of those. She was a mess. Every morning, every Sunday morning, she'd come and say, I have a word from the Father. She'd pray, I need to tell the church something. And I said, God, what is she doing? He said, she's a self-appointed scribe. But we did. I didn't say anything to her, and I told the staff, I said, we'll just love her. She'll be all right. She has turned out wonderful. But, we had to work with her. She was a mess. But, she's still a mess, but she's a mess in a good way. So what I'm saying, you're going to have sheep come into your congregation. They're going to be messed up. And they're going to think, she didn't think she knew more than me, but they're going to think that they know more than you. And they're going to try to make you believe they do. This is why you have to know who you are in Christ. Right, Elaine? Because you know what God's called you to do, and you just do it. All right? All right, so John 12:15 says, so when they had eaten, this is Jesus and his disciples, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? When I was first called, God gave me this scripture. Listen to it. And Peter said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. They're lambs, okay? Jesus said to Peter again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to Peter, shepherd my sheep. Jesus said to Peter the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, most assuredly I say to you, Peter, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch over out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This Jesus spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Here he's telling Peter, I want you to feed my little sheep, and I want you to tend to them, grow them up so they can go out. Now he says, now you're going to be killed. He says, follow me. And now he tells him how he's going to die. That's how God is. If you don't know that, I'll guarantee you that's how he is. He's going to show you what you're going to go through. If you're truly following God, And if you're really, you know, and if he's called you and you're walking with him, he's going to show you what's going to go on in your life. He does not let you sit there and be blindsided by the enemy. He does not. John 21:20, turning his head, Peter noticed the disciple Jesus loved falling right behind. When Peter noticed him, he asked Jesus, "Master, what's going to happen to him?" He's talking about John. Jesus said, "If I want him to live until I come again, what's that to you? You follow me." So in other words, quit worrying about your other, the other pastors. Quit worrying about a sheep you have in your flock. You follow Jesus. He'll lead you and he'll guide you. All right? I'm sorry, guys, but you know, you're not perfected yet. And if you believe you are, just wait. God's going to put you through circumstances, show you you're not really all you thought you were. And he does that because he wants to keep you humble. And he wants you to be all that you can be in him. So Jesus was reminding Peter that even though he denied Jesus three times, God forgave him. And now he was sending him forth to minister to the lost sheep. It doesn't matter what you've done before God calls you, called you. He forgave you. And you don't have to, you know, if the devil comes and keeps reminding what you used to do, just tell him to get out. Because that is not God. If God has called you, he's forgiven you, and he wants to use you. This is a time, saints, where we're going to be so busy, we are not going to have time to even turn around. Now, I don't know if you believe that or not, but that is the truth. And, you know, that's what God's been telling us, to get our houses in order, because pretty soon we're going to be too busy to get our houses in order. And I hope that you're all working at getting your houses in order so that whenever the time comes, which is, it just isn't going to be far away. All right, you too may love Jesus with all your heart, yet be grieved that in some way you have let him down. You too can square things up with Jesus, receive forgiveness, renew your love, and move forward walking with him. And Jesus states Peter's task in three words: feed or shepherd my sheep. And just like God told me, he said, you've got to return back to your first love. Well, I could have stopped there and quit ministering, but I didn't. I didn't lick my wounds either. I told God, thank you for showing me that, because I didn't know I was had walked away. And then I went on, I repented, and God continued to use me. You know, he didn't say stand on the backside of the desert for the year. He just continued to use me. There was one time I flat wanted to sit down. I flat wanted to quit. God wouldn't let me. Well, God was chastising me for something I did. Somebody, a pastor really, in his church service made a sermon all around me, and then really, really ridiculed me at the very end. And I decided I was going to get upset over that. Wasn't that stupid? And God said, don't get upset over that. And I said, well, if I want to. He said, all right, go ahead. He let me be upset for 1 year, and I cried out to him and cried out to him, but he made me pay for that for 1 year. But it taught me a very good lesson, one I'll never forget. I don't care what you do to me, I'm not going to be offended. I'm just not. And you need to learn from that too. Don't be offended. It's the devil. It's not the people. It's the devil trying to stop you. And offense is the biggest thing in the body of Christ. I mean, you know, if you even look at people, some people cross-eyed, they get offended. You know, and you get all kind of emails and knocks on your door and everything else. You know, you just have to keep walking with God and keep being in love with him and his sheep. All right, feed my sheep does not mean feeding them natural food. It's referring to the work of a shepherd. Shepherds are called to nurture others, care for the church, feed believers and the lost with spiritual food, protect those in the church, and go out and seek the lost sheep that are still out in the world. All right. Is this all right with y'all? It's too bad we've been going on it for a while. But, you know, God loves you guys. He really does. I didn't know we didn't have hardly anybody this morning, and I really wouldn't expect anybody tonight. But I'm so glad you showed up. Yeah, and you know, because this is important that you learn these things right now. Some of you already might know them. All right, this is a prophetic word God gave me January 2020. How far will you go to save a soul that is languishing in sin and can't help themselves? Will you go the extra mile as my son Jesus did, or will you stand by and watch them drop into the abyss? This is a year of great jubilee for the lost and dying. This is a year I want to bring them up out of the pits of despair and bring them into the throne room of grace, and then send them forth totally cleansed and full of my glory to save their fellow brothers and sisters that do not know me. Will you pay the ultimate price? Will you love those lost and drowning in the sea of despair? If you will, I will send you forth with my glory, and you shall save a multitude of lost and dying ones. And Isaiah 6:8 says, Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, Lord, send me. I just don't even know why I ran across that. He's popped up on my desktop, and I just know God wanted you to hear that. How far will you go to save a soul that is languishing in sin and can't help themselves? Think about that always. Shepherds, there is a price to pay to walk with the fathers of all lights. Are you willing to pay that price? So what is the price? Read the red letters in your Bible and see the price Jesus paid as he walked this earth. I wrote that down because one time I was asking God something. I said, why do I have to go through this? He said, you go into your word and read all the letters in red. Of course, we know that's Jesus. And he said, then you come back to me and we'll talk about it. So after I read all that, you know I didn't go back to the Father. Because I'm not going through near anything that Jesus had to go through. And see, God in all his wisdom knew that I would understand reading the red letters other than him and I conversing back and forth. Shepherds, you must understand that there is always going to be sin in your camp. You know, I don't care how holy you try to walk and how much you teach holiness, there's always going to be sin in the camp. God will reveal the sin and then he will take care of it. He will speak to you and give you instruction on how to deal with this sin. And I said that because you have to be very, very, very careful of how you handle somebody that's in sin in your church. Because you have the power with your words to either destroy them or build them up. And if you just let God speak through you, if you let God be the one to tell you exactly how to handle it, everything turns out all right. If the person doesn't want to straighten up, they'll leave your church and talk about you. That's how it works. All right, so if they don't straighten up and they leave, you can just listen and they'll be talking about you, telling things that aren't true about you. All right, I have noticed one thing. Shepherds are commanding their sheep to do something they themselves are not doing. Shepherds tell their sheep to become one with the Father, to become intimate with the Father, when they themselves are not working on their relationship with the Father. You as a shepherd, the anointed one, must stay close to the fire. It was 2 years ago, I think, that God told me to tell the people, because I have different people speak, and he says, if they're not living what they're going to teach, do not do it behind this pulpit. If you stand up here and teach something, you have to be living it. And you need to have the same rule in your church, because that's what God spoke to us, that you have to be living what you're teaching. Are you listening? You know, we're going to be fasting during this prayer time. And I can't fast a full day because of my issues. But if you notice, I don't talk about fasting either, because I'm not living a total fast. So I'm not talking about it. We have instructed you that that's what wants to be done. And I am fasting, but not full fast. I can't sit up here and teach something I'm not doing. And I like the fact that God took me through a lot of hardship, because I was never a bad person. I just wasn't. I was raised differently. But I'm glad that God let me go through the things I did go later on in my years, because I can because I went through it, then I can teach it. I can teach it with sincerity and truth because I know what my God can do. And so therefore I can teach it. And there's anointing on it, and it'll affect the people that listen to it. Are you listening to this? So whatever you went through, don't curse it. Just understand God allowed you to go through it because he's going to use you in that area to minister to the people. I mean, you know, God threw me into that. Whenever perversion came out, I was a little country girl from the country, you know, but we were in the service and we traveled a lot, but I just didn't know life, you know. And so whenever I learned all about the perversion, I was shocked. I mean, shocked to my core. And then what God had me teach sometimes shocked me even more. But I was glad, you know, after I got through the shock, I was glad that God had me there because then I could minister to the people. And it was truth. It was reality. Do you understand that people need reality? And the church has not been teaching reality all these years. They have not. You know, and everybody's trying to be like the pastor, and the pastor isn't even like Jesus. You know, you have to be real to your people. They have to understand that you're flesh and blood too. And then they can relate to you and they listen to you and then they start changing too. All right? We are working to become just like Jesus. 1 Peter 1:16, the Message Bible, God said, I am holy, you be holy. God had me put this sign up and I know people look at it and don't pay no attention to it. Because it's been here ever since we've been here. But God desires holy people. Is being holy even possible since only God is holy? Now, holiness is not only a possibility for the Christian. Holiness is a requirement. Hebrews 12:14, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You know, you can't, you know, I had a pastor tell me that they could be perverted in their bedroom because they are husband and wife and God allows that. And God said, no, I don't. No, I don't. And, you know, so God's watching you in your bedroom. He's watching you everywhere. And don't allow somebody else to make you believe something that's not in the Word. God wants you to walk upright in all of your ways. How are you going to teach somebody else to be holy if you're not living holy, you know? How are you going to tell somebody your vessel has to be clean if you're out there smoking cigarettes and drinking? You can't tell that to somebody. And I'm sorry, you can't cover up a cigarette smell. It's there, no matter how hard you try. You just have to be holy. And if your mate is perverted, you do not have to go into that perversion. You don't. And I would suggest you don't. Because God does not condone that. Why do you think churches are falling? It's because find out the pastor's in a mess. And you know, and God said that there's gonna, through his upper God, who, Chuck Pierce or somebody, one of the really big churches are gonna fall before this year is out. It's gonna be a lot of shame in it. And, you know, I feel sorry for anybody that gets caught up into that because you're ruining your ministry. You want people to follow you, so you should be just like Jesus. Are you listening? And maybe you need to go back and read the red letters and see who Jesus really is. God's going to hold you accountable for the sheep he's placed before you. You're not going to have any excuse of why you couldn't bring those sheep into the walk that God wants them to be in. There's going to be, I'm hearing God say there's going to be a lot of shepherds drowning in this year because they will not walk the holy walk. They will not live in righteousness, walk in righteousness. So he's just going to push them out of the way. Don't none of you guys be that. You don't have to bend to the devil. We serve Jesus, and he has all power and all authority. He'll bring you through any trial, any tribulation. He really will. He will not allow you to sink if you're trying with all your heart to stand before Him. And really and truly, if you're a pastor, you shouldn't be trying with all your heart. You should be there. Your life should be cleaned up. And you should be there. You know, my second husband that God asked me, and this is a personal thing, but I'm going to share it with you. God asked me to marry him. I didn't want to, but God placed a love in my heart for him because God said, I need to get him saved. And you're the only woman that I can bring forth that to use to bring him forth. You won't go to his level. You'll make him come to your level. And he was really perverted. He's in heaven today. I never went to his level. You'll come to my level. Because I'm not going to serve the devil in any level. Are you understanding this? It was my salvation that was on the line too. Because if I would have bowed to his perversion, I wouldn't even be sitting here today. But I had to make a choice. And God told me, you're the only one that I can use to bring him up. What does God think about you? Can he really trust you with anybody? You know, knowing that you are strong enough that you won't go to their level, but you'll bring them up to your level. I mean, you know, this church has had, we've had revival every day of the week for years. We had a beautiful praise and worship team. But people kept wanting to take my place, and they weren't walking in the Spirit. And I had to stay in the Spirit with God, and so they would leave. That didn't matter to me. What mattered to me was staying close to the Father. I didn't care what people did. Because I was treating them like Jesus would. I was teaching them the truth. And, you know, I've watched these people fall. Because they would say to me, well, we're leaving, but you're going to fall. And we're going to prosper. That never happened. The devil can't take you down if God has called you. He can't. Because he says, those I call, I keep. So how about each one of you in here tonight? Will you determine your heart tonight? And anybody that's listening, I guess this is live stream. Will you determine your heart tonight that you don't care what the enemy brings your way, you're not going to give in to it. You're going to stay strong in the Lord. And you're going to feed his sheep, and you're going to shepherd them. Well, he said, feed the lambs. That's your newborns coming in. Then they become sheep. Then he said, now feed my sheep. He wants you to grow them up so he can come into your church and say, okay, I'm ready to use him or her, and then take them out and use them. Amen. And I want to tell you something else. God doesn't like titles. He told me one time, I do not. Well, everybody I met was either a bishop or something like that. And I said, God, where do all these bishops come from? He said, they're self-appointed bishops. They put the title there. I did not. He said, I do not like titles. When I was first born again, the first church I went to, I was called out with two other ladies to be an evangelist. So that's really my title, is evangelist. But and then God told me, he says, you're an apostle. You don't see none of that in front of my name. Because that title means absolutely nothing. And when God tells me what I'm in, you know, the fivefold ministry, whatever he tells me, that's for my benefit. It's not for me to blast it all over this countryside. I know who I am in Christ. I know what God's called me to do. And I know what he's anointed me to do. And I stay in that realm. I don't try to go to some place that I know God isn't taking. And, you know, there was a phase, or still might be going on, everybody was a doctor, right? Everybody was doctor. Everybody was going to college to be a, you know, had the doctor degree. Well, that doesn't get you anywhere. It's the Holy Spirit that gets you, right? Elaine, honey, you're getting ready to be shaken to the very core of your being. Your whole world is going to turn upside down because God's getting ready to move you in a mighty way by his Spirit. And you're going to do a perfect, lasting work for his kingdom.